Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. The Fabric community in the Twin Cities has been gathering in person at Minnehaha Falls Park, but that means we're once again subject to the weather, and after getting rained out this week, we decided to rebroadcast this episode from early in the pandemic. The voice you'll hear is Joe Davis, powerful poet, artist, and organizer, and friend of Fabric who will be with us again in a couple weeks. This episode comes from our conversation, To Get to the Other Side, and might hold some interesting insights for you now that the other side feels like something we're finally moving closer toward.
My name is Joe Davis, and I'm an artist, educator, and speaker whose work is centered in shaping culture through the arts. I wear a lot of hats, literally and figuratively. I am a spoken word poet, playwright, songwriter, storyteller. I'm just a lover of the beautiful complexity of the human soul and how we can more deeply experience joy and healing when accessing our creative power. I fell in love with the arts as a child. My dad is a big reader, and we would take walks to the local library when I'd spend endless hours getting lost in this universe of my favorite authors and illustrators. My mom has always been an artist in the kitchen, crafting these glorious meals for our family. And my older sister, who would keep me entertained by designing all these brilliant arts and crafts projects for us when she was babysitting me. So I was always immersed in this really playful and exploratory world of creativity. I had a wildly active imagination, and I was always making up my own songs and stories and playing make-believe until abruptly my whimsical world crashed. I got really, really sick. One day I passed out on the bathroom floor and I was rushed to the emergency room. Doctors didn't really know what was going on, but their best guess was that I had a condition called atopic dermatitis, or more commonly called eczema. And I had it so severely that it had inflamed my entire body and my skin didn't protect me from outside infections. So I was hospitalized multiple times and I missed a lot of school. Yet it was also during this time when I began to more intentionally use my writing as a way to process my feelings and emotions when it was hard to talk to my families and friends about it. As I wrote, it transformed the quality of my experience, at least what I experienced in my inner world, and it certainly impacted my outer world, at least to some extent. I accessed a deeper sense of healing and empowerment. I didn't realize it back then, but I was imagining myself into a new way of being. And it became a practice that I still carry forward to this day. I no longer suffer from the condition that afflicted my body as a child, and I feel that it is in part due to how I engaged creative expression. Because of how the art and practice of imagining has shaped my life when I was younger, it's become my life's work to invite others to also explore their creative capacity. Whether they identify as artists or not, we all inherently possess the ability to imagine and create. It's just that some of us have had more practice than others. Think of it this way. Musicians need to practice playing their instruments to learn more and develop their skill. Athletes need to practice playing their sport to learn more and develop their skills. If we want to learn and develop the skill of imagining and creating, we gotta practice playing. Exercise that muscle. Get our reps in. Oftentimes, we're more practiced in imagining and creative scenarios we don't want to exist. We allow our fears, doubts, and insecurities to cloud our minds and eclipse new possibilities. This is what happened to me during the global pandemic. It was the first week of shelter in place, and I watched all the news reports online. I watched my inbox flood with cancellations of my in-person bookings, which is the only way I made money as an artist. And I mind-numbingly watched hours of Netflix to distract me from my feelings and my emotions. Yo, to keep it real, I was freaking out, y'all. I didn't know what to do, and I was imagining the worst. It wasn't until I took a moment of pause. I stopped allowing myself to be distracted by anything and everything around me, and I went inward. And I actually turned off my computer, turned off my phone, and sat at the edge of my bed and began listening to my body. I paid attention to my breath and began to breathe more slowly and deeply, and my body was shaking. I felt a rapid vibration rising in my chest, pulsating and humming. I felt an energy that I identified as anxiety. Instead of resisting it, I became present to it. Then I listened even closer and even deeper. And there was something echoing beneath the anxiety. I didn't know what to call it, but it welled up in my eyes. Instead of swallowing it, I gave myself permission to cry. And I sat there on my bed and I wept and wept and wept. The tears felt soft and cleansing. But it was only after the release that I was able to feel more of myself again. I was able to be more fully present and give myself the space to practice imagining something, something more, something different. And that's when I wrote this poem entitled Questions in the Time of COVID. I just want to share with you as an offering. Maybe some of these questions can resonate with you. Questions in the time of COVID. What am I holding that I need to keep holding? What am I holding that I need to let go of? What needs to stop and what needs to keep flowing? These are the questions I have in the time of COVID. What do I know that I don't know I don't know? And what do I already know that I don't know I know yet? What doors are already closed? What doors need to be closing? What doors are already open that I didn't even see open? What seems to be glittering that isn't really golden? Am I an ocean in a drop or a drop in the ocean? And what am I putting my heart and my soul in? These are the questions I have in the time of COVID. Am I listening to the whispers of the words unspoken? Am I making the space in my body to feel my emotions? Why did it take me this long to call my family and close friends? And when will I be able to hold them close again? Do I believe everything that the media is showing? Can I walk outside just to feel the sunshine and wind blowing? And what can I do to keep my melanin popping and glowing? Without purpose or direction, does it matter where I'm going? These are the questions I have in the time of COVID. How am I coping? What is my hope in? What am I letting die and what am I growing? Am I reaping the things from the seeds I've been sowing? Why do I miss the things I didn't know I'd miss? Can you please show me where more toilet paper and soap is? Can you hear me? Can you see me? Is my screen frozen? How can I send a remote hug or a remote kiss? Is this bogus? Am I the only one who can't eat, sleep, or focus? Who feels like I'm stuck in a dark place groping? What can I control and who controls this? These are the questions I have in the time of COVID. What can I do to support your local biz? Is everything canceled but my loans and rent? How can I send peace to families at home with kids? And what about all those experiencing homelessness? How can we care for those feeling depression and loneliness and let them know that they're not alone in this? Can this be a time to mend what is bent and broken? Can we give space to check our intentions and motives? Move slow enough to notice what we haven't yet noticed, like the sacrifice of the workers who were so heroic, who show up and show love in a world so sick. When at last can the whole world rest? Some days I wonder, is there no end? Or can we start over again and keep going? Maybe our fear isn't as contagious as our hope is. These are the questions I have in the time of COVID. I wrote that piece as a practice of listening to my body, a practice of listening to my community, a practice of imagining hope. And some days it's harder to practice than others, but it's something I commit to and recommit to again and again. I talk of practice so often because it's a reminder of the abundance in my life. If I feel like I lack practice, I can practice patience if I lack patience over and over again. And in time, I realized that patience was always accessible to me. If I feel I lack gentleness, I can practice gentleness. And over time, realize that gentleness is always accessible to me. If I feel I lack courage or confidence or compassion, the process of practice again and again over time reminds me that these are always accessible to me. This is also why I feel communal practice can be so powerful and healing. If we as a community practice embodying what we want more of in the world, we can transform culture. Living in Minneapolis during an uprising in the wake of the police murder of George Floyd is teaching us much about the art and practice of cultural transformation. Being quarantined has limited our distractions and showed us how deep the wounds of racism and injustice are, still throbbing in our bodies, still asking us to listen and pay attention to the pain, still longing for us to heal. Art can help us get what we think and feel in our heads, in our hearts, in our bodies, out into the world. Art can help us reimagine public safety and imagine a sustainable community ecosystem. Can we practice imagining this way of being together? Can we practice envisioning and embodying the world we long to live in? Can we practice with the faith of a child who is the purest artist, who teaches us to create without fear or shame, to explore with awe and wonder new ways of being? In a world that often feels turbulent and chaotic, where our individual and collective wounds can cause us to inflict more harm or cultivate more healing, I want to practice the art of gentleness the most. When I say gentleness, I mean gentleness as a personal practice, gentleness as a communal practice, gentleness as a way of being, gentleness as a culture. There has been throughout all of human history people and groups of people who lack the practice of gentleness, and this still happens today. There are politics and professions of violence cloaked in garments of gentleness. But some mornings, when I'm able to slow down and quiet myself long enough to listen, I hear my body asking for gentleness. When I look into the eyes of my beloved, I see them asking for gentleness. My community is asking for gentleness. The earth is asking for gentleness. And yes, there are those who are unpracticed and only know how to speak a language of violence. But if they ever slowed down and quieted long enough, maybe they'd hear their bodies asking for gentleness too. I have these practices, but they're not just for me, they're for anyone and everyone. Just like anything in life, it's best practiced in community. And so my hope is that we can practice together, because communal practices can transform culture, they can transform the world. And my invitation, especially as an artist and educator, is to invite us to do this together. So let's practice together. What do you want to practice embodying more of in the world? What do we want to practice embodying more of in the world? Let's do it together.
Thanks for listening. But we want you to be even more deeply part of these conversations. Join others Sunday mornings at 10:30 at Minnehaha Falls Park if you're in the Twin Cities, or find discussion resources at fabricmpls.com that can help you find ways of starting deeper conversations among your family, friends, or fabric groups. Share insights and questions on social media too by searching fabricmpls. It may feel like small things, but all of those little threads have some surprising ways of coming together to create life woven deeply.